You know that feeling when you're walking down the stairs and you think you're at the bottom, but actually there's one more step. See, that for me is what life feels like at the moment. It's that split second just before your foot finds the floor. It's when you're standing in midair, kind of wobbling and stumbling, desperately hoping that there's something solid, some solid ground to put your foot on. So we're in the middle of a 5-week series here in Trinity, answering the question, why did Jesus die? 2 weeks ago, Peter told us that we're in a law court, and because Jesus died, we've been declared not guilty by a loving and holy God fully and forever. Last week, Andy explained that we're at a temple altar. Jesus died to take away his loving and holy anger at sin fully and forever. And today's location is a really important one. Today's location, especially at the beginning of Easter week, is just an incredible location. In a world that's wobbling at the bottom of the stairs with no solid ground, today's location is absolutely 100% vital. If you get today's location, then you and your lockdown will be transformed. If we grasp today's answer as to why Jesus died, then we'll finally be on solid ground that will never ever trip us up and never ever wobble. Are you ready? Well, come with me to the market. So picture the last market you went to, only bigger. So a few weeks ago, me and Susanna went to Chippenham Market, but I want you to imagine something bigger than Chippenham Market. Chippenham Market kind of just sells mostly batteries and high-vis jackets, but I need you to picture a big market, a massive market full of people, where they sell just about everything that you can possibly imagine. They're selling fruit and they're selling vegetables, they're selling fish and meat and cheese. To be fair, Chippenham Market does sell those things too, and we really enjoy going there. But we need you to imagine a bigger market than that. Because the world we live in is just like that market. Everything has a value and everything has a price, including you. You see, in our market world, we're all for sale. Our gifts and our abilities, our talents, our looks, our bank balances, we all have a value set by the market world that we live in. Every room we step into, every Zoom meeting that we join is an opportunity to hopefully increase our value. I was thinking the other day, one of the interesting things, the fascinating things really about our current world is that there's a four-letter word that's beginning to disappear. How long that will last for, well, we'll see. But before COVID-19, many of us would use a tiny four-letter word that put people in their place. It would define our value and the value of those around us. Let's see if you recognize this little simple word. I just stack shelves in Lidl. You're just a delivery driver. They're just bin men. If you don't study properly for your exams, you'll just be a shop assistant. Do those sentences jar a little with you as they do for me? How times change, it's incredible, isn't it? Just has no place in those sentences anymore. Just a supermarket worker? Not anymore. See, the definition of key workers has changed dramatically. The value of those individuals has risen, and rightly so. But really, the world is only just catching up to a reality that has always been true in the world of the Bible, and that reality is that every human has worth and dignity. Every human has worth and dignity. There is no just anyone. In a truly biblical worldview, in the way that the Bible describes and shapes the world we live in, every human has worth and dignity. Not because of their looks, not because of their talent, not because of their employment status, but because every human is made in the image of God. And so we should treat each other as such, with worth and dignity. And that's why, isn't it? That's why the clapping on a Thursday night at 8 p.m. it just feels right, doesn't it? It feels right to acknowledge someone's true worth. It feels right to acknowledge the key workers and to thank them in a way. That's why it feels right. That's why it feels quite emotional, because I think we're reflecting what the Bible says about people's worth. See, every human being is made in God's image. It's right there on page one of the Bible. Every man and every woman, every human with a disability, whether it's seen or hidden, made in God's image. Every inconvenient unborn baby is precious. Every parent, whether single or in a pair, who's now having to learn how to be a teacher, is valuable and is doing something valuable. Every elderly person with underlying health issues has dignity. Every key worker, but also every no worker, everyone on furlough, every human has worth and dignity because they're made in God's image. There is no just anyone in God's world. It's powerful, isn't it? See, the world is just starting to catch up, and we'll see how long that it lasts for in the months and the years to come. But the Bible teaches clearly and wonderfully that every human has worth and dignity, but it also tells us that every human is a slave. If we see that we're made in God's image on page one of the Bible, then we find out that we're slaves on page three, almost straight away. See, we're in the market. We're in the market, and every one of us is for sale, and we think that we're in charge of the price. We think we control our value and our worth. Just think about it. Every room you walk into, you sell yourself, don't you? In obvious ways or in subtle ways. We all do it. Maybe some of the really obvious ways are those people that are on Instagram or on TikTok and they're sharing their life with you. But really, they're just sharing a heavily edited, a carefully filtered part of their life, kind of monetizing the good bits. That's obvious. But maybe there are more subtle ways. But I'm sure you do it still. Every Zoom meeting you arrange or you go to, you spend maybe too long arranging the things behind you, because that's the only thing that anyone sees. Inside every room, we all perform in a way that hopefully makes our value rise, and it never ever stops. Every one of us has worth and dignity, but every one of us is slaves to sin, because without exception, we search for that worth and dignity outside of God. In essence, we've turned our back on him. See, sin is putting me at the center. It's putting me on the throne in place of God. It's defining myself and my worth independently from him, separated from him, turning our backs on him, shaking our fists, chasing anything but God to give us meaning and value. In the Bible, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes about this issue. He explains that all of us are like this. All of us have exchanged worshipping the Creator for worshipping created things. And he says that that's a serious, serious problem. And one reason that that's a serious problem, he says, is because it makes us slaves to what we choose to worship. There was an American novelist called David Foster Wallace. He was writing books, the late 90s, early noughties, an incredible brain, incredible writer. And once he was giving a speech to some American college students, and this speech is incredible. He basically agrees with Paul in the Bible. David Foster Wallace was not a Christian, he was an atheist. But in this speech, he pretty much completely agreed with the Apostle Paul and what he said in Romans 1, because David Foster Wallace said this. He says, everybody worships. Everybody worships, but what you worship will eat you alive. See, that's what Paul was saying too. Everybody worships, but what you worship will eat you alive. David Foster Wallace said, by example, he said, if you worship looks, Or if beauty is where you find your worth and your meaning and your value. If you worship beauty, you'll always feel ugly. If you worship wealth and riches, you'll always feel poor. If you worship education or intelligence, you'll always feel stupid. And we all feel that, don't we? We go around always needing more validation, always chasing something and never quite getting there. It doesn't just make us feel completely inadequate most days, completely insecure and quite frankly exhausted. Are we ever going to find solid ground? Are we ever going to find this valuation that we can truly build our life on? The Bible says that you have real worth and dignity because you're made in God's image, but you are a slave. You're trapped in a hole that you've dug yourself into, and you just keep digging, and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Inside every room and inside every Zoom, you are a slave to sin. Later on in Romans, Paul says that the wages of sin is death. We're made in God's image, you're made in God's image, but we're inadequate. We're bankrupt, unable to pay the price to escape. But here comes the solid ground. You ready? There is a rescue mission. There is a rescue mission. See, in the marketplace where we are slaves that are being eaten alive by sin, a rescuer has come to redeem us and to pay for our freedom. Let me read one sentence. It's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus said this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Our rescuer is Jesus. The Son of Man, the one who has been given all authority over heaven and earth, the true King of the universe, God's beloved Son, our rescuer. Our Redeemer is Jesus. That's how much trouble we're in, because only God's Son can help. Every human has worth and dignity, but every human is a slave. But Jesus came to rescue slaves. See, that's our solid ground. How does he rescue us? Look at the verse again. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. The price is paid by him. The price is paid, his life for yours. The price that we can never afford is paid by him, fully and freely. We're at the start of Easter week, and on Friday we'll particularly as Christians remember Jesus dying on the cross, and almost certainly we'll read about Jesus' final words just before he died. In English, there were three final words just before he died. He said these three words, "It is finished." It is finished. It's done. Mission accomplished, payment paid, redemption completed. Jesus' rescue mission was decisive and costly, because he's in the market paying for your freedom with his life. This morning, we were listening to a friend preaching on YouTube, and he said something really interesting. He said that in all the uncertainty of post-COVID-19 world and politics and everything, in all that uncertainty, there's one thing that we know for sure. And that one thing, he said, is that we'll be paying for it for a long time. He's probably right, isn't he? That our debts as a country, even as a world, are just going to soar over these next months. Financially, of course. But I think also physically, also mentally, our debts are gonna soar. And it's true, isn't it? The thing about debt is that it has to be paid. Your mortgage has to be paid, your credit cards have to be paid. Every month we get reminders, don't we? Don't forget to pay, don't forget to pay. You owe this much, don't forget to pay on time. That's the thing with debt. Debt kind of follows you around. It isn't, like, it has to be paid. And if you can't pay the debt, you're in trouble. If the price is too much, you're in trouble. Well, Jesus came to rescue slaves. He came to pay debt. He came to redeem slaves. And he came because the price is too much. So what was the value of the price that he paid? Let me read something to you from 1 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is the price. Peter says that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You were ransomed, you were redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. If you are a Christian, then you have eternal and priceless value and worth, because Jesus has bought you with his eternal and priceless blood. Do you see now how in the Bible's world, there's no just anyone? See, we all have the same need. We all have the same redemption. And it's all cost the same. If your value is all about you, then you're a slave to whoever or whatever is inside the room. But a Christian's value and worth are outside the room. Because it's not all about us, it's all about Jesus. And because it's not about us, because it's all about Jesus, our value and our worth are safe and secure and solid. That never-ending cycle, that exhausting slavery of finding and defining your value from people around you inside the room is over. See, your worth, if you're a Christian, your worth is outside the room. Your worth is on Jesus, on the cross. And that is a valuation. That is a value that you can really trust and build your life on. See, every human has worth and dignity, but every human is a slave. Jesus came to rescue slaves, so only in him are we truly free. And so my main question this afternoon is that you? Is that you? Have you been redeemed by this Jesus? Has he paid the price for your slavery to sin? It can be you if you respond to him, even this afternoon. Just believe in him. Trust in him for yourself. Trust in his redemption for you. Trust in his "it is finished" spoken for you. If you want in on this redemption by Jesus, then tell him. I promise you, he'll be delighted to have you. If you do that today, or if you've done that before, you can know that 100% there is not a cloud in the sky between you and God. Because the price has been paid, fully and forever paid. His life, his precious blood for yours. And if this is you, if your freedom, if your everything is Jesus and he has redeemed you, then really there are two ways to respond. Firstly, drop the slavery. See, if you miss what I'm saying, then you might start to think that once you're redeemed, then your focus now is on paying Jesus back. But don't. You're dead to that kind of slavery, so drop it. You don't have a debt to pay anymore. I don't know if any of you watching have finished paying off their mortgage. Me and Susanna don't even have a mortgage yet, so I guess if we were going to finish it, it's going to be a long way off. But my parents finished paying off their mortgage a few years ago. I don't know what they did to celebrate. Maybe they'll text me in a few seconds just to tell me what they did. But I know they finished paying it off. But imagine after they'd finished paying it off, they decided to keep paying the bank. Just, I don't know, out of gratitude, out of habit, you know, they've paid the mortgage, they've got the certificate, the stamp on the certificate saying they've paid off the mortgage, but well, we'll keep paying the bank a little bit just in case. Well, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Like, don't keep paying the bank. You don't owe them anything. Everything's been paid off. There's nothing left to pay. Well, in a similar way, it's like with us, with Jesus and our redemption. It is finished. It's finished. There's nothing left to pay. Jesus has paid everything. He's paid your price fully and freely. It's done. There is not a cloud in the sky between you and God. So to drop the slavery, drop that slavery. Come instead, come to the Father through Jesus, not as a hired servant, but as a redeemed and loved child. You belong to Him. You are His. So firstly, drop the slavery. Secondly, enjoy, truly enjoy your value in Jesus. It is a mistake to find any of your worth or dignity inside the room. So you have been redeemed. What did Peter say in that verse? You have been redeemed not with silver or gold, not with perishable things that don't last. You have not been redeemed by your salary. You have not been redeemed by your quality lesson plans for your kids in lockdown. You have not been redeemed by how much hand gel you've managed to find or how much that you manage to use every day. You're dead to that kind of slavery. You're not redeemed by what other people think of you. You're not redeemed by the background in your Zoom. You're not redeemed by anything like that. You're dead to that kind of slavery. Drop that slavery because those things will eat you alive. Because you'll never have enough. You'll never be enough. Instead, enjoy your true value in Jesus. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. You are truly valuable, truly loved, truly forgiven, and truly free. Unworthy, yes, but precious. So precious. See, that's what's going to transform you and your lockdown this afternoon. Jesus doesn't love you because you're amazing, but he loves you because his love is amazing. So, when you think you're at the bottom of the stairs, but actually there's one more step and you stand mid-air kind of wobbling because it feels like there's nothing to solid to stand on. When you finish the day in bed and you just ask the question, have I done enough today? Have I been enough today? And the answer you're convinced is no, and I never will be. Is that a problem? Well, today I tell you that there is solid ground. There is solid ground in this world of ours today. There is solid ground when you can't get to sleep because you haven't been enough that day. The solid ground isn't better self-esteem. The solid ground isn't trying hard to repay God for something. There is solid ground, and it's Jesus. It's only Jesus. It's only ever Jesus. It's always only ever Jesus. So why did Jesus die? Well, he died like in a law court to declare us not guilty. He died like a temple altar to sacrifice, as a sacrifice to take away wrath. Answer number three. Why did Jesus die? He's in the market to rescue you from slavery. He has paid the price, not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood. And you are his.